Begin the current daf, begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in related discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a halacha related to previous halachas, which then discussed a case of a mashkin. Specifically, a type of a mashkin is security collateral that the lender holds on to during the period of the loan that he gave to the borrower. So the borrower gives him an object, which in the case that the Gemara had spoken about was a pardis. He gave him an orchard as a security. Now, specifically, it wasn't just that he was holding on to it as in case the borrower defaults, but rather every single year he consumes a certain amount of the produce, which then that diminishes the amount of the debt of the loan, and then at the end of those years that he has the mashkin for, then the guy gives him back his, in that case, the orchard, and he doesn't owe him any more the debt of the loan. That was the case the Gemara was discussing. So on the related discussion, also about a type of a mashkin, the Gemara says a hushtar. A certain document, which as Rashi points out, which is the relationship of the previous Gemara, is a shtar of mashkanta de surah, where they had, in surah, they wrote certain documents, which were that the lender has the collateral from the borrower, let's say whatever the object is, it could be a field, it could be an object, which every single year of the loan, he continues utilizing it, which that's the piri of it, the utility of it, and that whatever that benefit he has, that diminishes the amount of the loan, which is for the benefit of the borrower. Because anyways, he's not having the collateral, the securities by the lender, but by the lender using it, diminishes the amount, and then he doesn't have to pay him at the end of that period. So says the Gemara, regarding such a document, where it just said years. It didn't specify a certain amount. It just said, at the conclusion of these years, then the lender is going to give back this security to the borrower, and then the borrower is not going to owe any more money from the loan to the lender, because again, during those years, the lender utilized it, which is the equivalent of the amount of the loan. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Malva Amr Shalish, but it didn't say how many years, it says at the conclusion of these years. That's what the document says. So the lender says it was for a period of 3 years, and Leiva Amr Shtaim, the borrower says, no, it was only for a period of 2 years he's supposed to have the security. Says the Gemara, if the lender went and he consumed the produce, the utility of that field on the third year before the borrower took him to court, and it's already after the third year, which that was the year in dispute, and he already ate the pre of that third year because the lender said yes, the document was for 3 years. So the question is, me Naman, ask the Gemara, who believed? Is it the lender that's believed, and therefore he was allowed to eat the pre and he doesn't have to pay? Or is the borrower believed, and it was only for 2 years, and therefore now the malva has to compensate him for the third year of peris, which he wasn't allowed to eat? So there's a machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, karka becheskes baleo kaima. The land is the object here that's the security. In whose presumed ownership is it? In that of the owner. In other words, even though the borrower did not claim to the lender until after the lender already ate the pre of that field, but we go based on the chazaka, whoever is presumed the ownership of that land. So now that we're in doubt regarding this third year, the lender saying it did belong to him, the borrower said it did not belong to him, we put the land in the chazaka of its owner, which tells us that the lender did not eat it rightfully. And therefore, the lender now has to compensate the borrower for that third year, because we go based on chazaka, it's a suffix. Who is the muchzik of the land? It's the owner. Who is the owner? It's the borrower. Now, the question is, for how many years did the borrower give it to the lender? That we know for sure too, but the third year is in suspense, so we go on his chazaka. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. If Ka'anamah, he says, no, peiris becheskes oichlein kaimi. The produce goes in the chazak of the one who ate it already. In other words, what that means to say is, since the lender already went and ate the pre of the third year, and now we're coming to remove it from him, we want to collect back from the lender and say, hey, you weren't allowed to, it was only for 2 years, not for 3 years. On that, the bar has to bring proof that it was not for 3 years, because now that it was eaten, now he's the muchzik, because he already went and took it. Now you want to collect back from him? You want to be mighty from him? That he's already the muchzik, and therefore, the halach is that he doesn't have to pay for that third year. And says the Gemara, "V'hilchasa kavaisa kavaseid Rav Kahana." Halacha falls like Rav Kahana. The Amar peiris becheskes oichlein kaimi. That we go based on the chazaka of the one who already ate the peiris. In other words, he's already the muchzik because he already ate it. And now you want to take away from him. Okay, so then you want to be mitzi. That's always what we say. The one who's taking it away is not the muchzik. The one who has it already is the muchzik, and therefore he doesn't have to compensate the borrower for the third year that he ate the peiris. Now, on this halacha, the Gemara asks, Kaimalon, but we already explained the Helchos HaKavod Seder of Nachman. Halacha always follows like Rav Nachman by what's called Dini, by monetary law. Now the question is, in Rav Nachman, the Amar Rav Nachman was quoted as saying that Karka Becheskes Baalei Medes, that a piece of land retains its assumption in the possession of its owner. Now, specifically as in regards to our Gemara's case, which the Gemara told us on Daf Kav Beis and Beis and Perek HaShoyel, regarding someone that rents a merchatz, a bathhouse, for, and he said two terminologies. He said for 12 golden coins for the year, and he also said a golden coin per month. Now, I mean, the ramification of that would be, what's the halacha with an ibyur, with a leap year, which has an extra month? So you said 12 per year, that would mean even when it's an extended year. Or do you say per month, which that would make 13 months, there has to be 13 golden coins. So on that, Rav Nachman said, since we have this 13th month in dispute, he says, even if the owner will come at the end of the 13th month, when the renter already used it, still, says Rav Nachman, all of the benefit goes to the owner when the year is extended, and the borrower, the renter, has to go ahead and compensate him 13 gold coins, not 12 gold coins. So you see, because the karka, who's the owner of this merchatz? It's the masker, it's the one who owns it. Now, in spite of the fact that the renter already used it, and you say, okay, now you want to, it's a suffix, we don't know, do we go based on the first words that he used, which was 12 per year, or the last words that he used, which is one gold coin per year? We don't know. So it's a suffix. And who is he saying is the muchzik? Not the renter who already used it, which in the halacha that we defined over here from Rav Kahana was Peris Becheskes Chaychlein Kaimi. Rav Nachman does not say that. He says the seicher has to pay it back to the master, which sounds like Rav Yehuda's halacha, that Karka Becheskes Balen. I mean, it's because the master is the one that's a muchzik in the land, in the merchatz. And the fact that he used it, who cares? You have to go ahead now and pay him for that 13th month, that 13th golden coin. So how could we say both halachas like Rav Nachman and halachas like Rav Kahana when they're contradictory? So says the Gemara that you're right. The truth is, like we said, the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that we go based on the chazaka of the karka. Now, however, that's only in situations when you have a doubt that's never going to be clarified. For example, like Hossam over there, by the case of Rav Nachman, was milsa d'loy avidi l'gluyhi. It's something that's never going to be revealed, that there's going to be clarification on. Because that halacha is based on, we don't know, and that's we don't know in general, do we go what's called tafas lashon rishon? Do we go based on his first words that he said, that's 12 per year? Or are we tafas lashon achron? Do we go based on his last words? And that, in halacha, it's not clarified. So in such a situation, we said, so then since it's a suffix, so who's the primary muchzik? It's the muchzik of the karka. So then you're right, it's the masker that's going to get the 13 golden coins. But however, in contrast, says the Gemara, Hach over here in the Machlekes Rav Kahana Rav Yehuda, Milsa Davidi Ligluihi. It's something that ultimately could be clarified if the witnesses of the document come and they'll testify and they'll say, oh, this document, you're right, when we signed it, it doesn't say how many years. But we were there. We know that it's true that if it was 3 years or 2 years. So says the Gemara, Vatruche Beidina Trei Zimni. Now, to put the courts through the procession two times, in other words, because maybe the halacha is going to be with the lender. And that is, they're going to verify the witnesses that although it doesn't say in the document, it was for 3 years. Now, if we're going to remove the value of that third year pay risk from the lender, what's going to happen is we're going to have to end up proceeding with the court again, and now removing it from the borrower at a later point in time to give it back to the lender, because now we're verifying that it's actually was for 3 years, like the witnesses say. That says the Gemara loy matrachinan. That we don't put through the court through the efforts. In other words, the reason why in this case it's going to remain with the lender is not because we go based on pcheskes oichlei and kaimi. That's not why we were passing the halacha like Rav Kahana. Truth is, the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that pcheskes the pcheskes karka pcheskes balei and kaimi. And truthfully, it really should go to the borrower, and the lender should have to pay him the third year. The reason why here we say that it's pcheskes oichlei and kaimi is because it's possible that the witnesses of the document will come and verify. In other words, if we're going to take it away from the lender to give it to the bar, because becheskes a karka becheskes balein kaimen, then when the witnesses later come and say, no, I'm sorry, it was not for 2 years, it was for 3 years, we're going to have to go get back, and the court's going to have to take it back from him to the lender, and that we don't do that, so therefore to refrain, since it is possible that the lender is right, and moreover, even if he's wrong, what the possibility could be that we're going to have to take it away from him and then give it back to him. So to refrain from being matriach the bezin two times, that's why in this situation we're going to keep in the chazaka of the lender, but not because we say becheskes haichlein kaim in contrast to the karka becheskes balein kaim. That's one type of case. Now a similar type of halacha, which a different case, the Gemara describes when there's a lender and a borrower that come to court. Malvo Eimer Chamish. The lender says that this mashkin, this security, was given to me for a period of 5 years, but I don't have the document to provide documentation that it was for 5 years. Whereas Levo Amar Shalish, whereas the borrower says, that's not true, we had made up for the loan that you gave me, I was going to give you the security that you would be able to use for a period of 3 years, and you already ate up the 3 years, and you're done, now give me back the field. Where the lender saying, no, it's for 5 years, I still get another 2 years. On that, Amalei, so the borrower says to the lender, I slish darcha, what do you mean, bring me your document, you want to hold on to my land, prove it with documentation. Amalei, shtar irkisli, so the lender says, I'm sorry, I lost the document, but that's what we made up, and we wrote in the document, I get it for 5 years. So Amrav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Malva Neman. So he says that the lender is believed that it was for 5 years, not for 3 years. And he says, Migui, based on what's called Migui, since he could have said something else, which is, had he wanted, he could have made a whole totally different claim. He could have said that actually I had bought this piece of land from you, which is mine forever. And as we both know, I just ate from this field for a period of 3 years, which are, as the Gemara again above Basra explains, eating it for a period of 3 years as a chazaka actually illustrates and demonstrates that this is the person's land, and then I could say I lost the document and it would be my land forever. So, hold on. Believe me that it's for 5 years and I could have it for another 2 years, because if I really wanted to, I'd be able to say that I bought this land and I would say, okay, once I ate in that 3 years and that's a halach of chazaka where I don't have to hold on to the document anymore, and if I lost it, it would be my land. So therefore, he should be believed because of that, says Rebuda. And that says, Omali Rav Papa or Rav Asher. Rav Papa said to Rav Asher that Rav Zvid, Rav Avira, Loi Svir Lehu Had Rav Yehuda. They do not hold of this logic of Rav Yehuda. In other words, that we do not say this principle of Migui. Why not? Because it's obvious that this guy is a liar. That he's using a trick. That he's using subterfuge. My time, what's the reason? So that says the Gemara, this that he's claiming that he lost the document. Now, Haishtara, this document is not the same as what he's trying to say that he could have made a claim of what's called a document of a deed of a sale. Because although by a document of a sale, the purpose of that document is only to prove that this field was sold to him. Now, obviously, a guy who buys this field does not have to hold on to documentation forever. And therefore, the Rabbanan say, and this is the beginning of Masechta the Baba Basra, that for a period of 3 years, a person is careful with the documentation, but more than that, he doesn't have to be careful. Because he thinks, okay, no one's going to contest anymore. If no one contested this in my field for 3 years, obviously I could hold on to it. I don't have to have documentation to prove it. Now, however, here, this document was a shtar mashkanta. What's the purpose of a document of the security? Is to prove the amount of years that he's allowed to eat the payers of someone else's field. And that says the Gemara, kivin el gevayin akoi, since the whole purpose of this document is for his allowance of being able to collect and to eat the payers of a certain amount of years, so Mrs. Zarebe, it's not true. In that case, the one who holds that document is always careful in the document not to lose it until the end of that amount of years that he was able to eat the pears of someone else's field, in this case, of the leiva. So therefore, says the Gemara, this that he's claiming that, oh, I lost it, he's not believed. Because the michpashu de kavshi lishtar is actually just concealing the documentation. Savar, eichle, tartan, shnin, yisirasa, he's thinking to himself, you know what, let me eat another 2 years. I know it's only for 3 years, but hey, who's going to prove me wrong? Actually, I'll be believed because I have a migui. I could say that, well, if I would have said that it was bought and I lost the document, I would be believed to keep it forever. So I'll just say that I actually lost the document and I could have it for 5 years. And that says the Gemara, no, it's obvious that he's lying. Obviously, he's a rami. Why? And you can't use the migui. Because if it was true, then you actually would have the document. You never lose a document in these cases. You only lost it because you have no reason for it. Or you're actually hiding it because you want to make it more than what you wanted. Obviously, he's a Rami, and he's not believed to say that it was for 5 years versus 3 years. Moreover, says the Gemara, another question on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that he said that he could say a migui, that, what do you mean, had I wanted, says the lender, I could have said that I bought it for sure that I want to say just that the mashkin was for 5 years, not like the way you're saying for 3 years. On that, Esther Gemara, Amalei Ravina Ravashi says El Miata. Now, based on Rav Yehuda, so it comes that High Mashkanta de Surah. So this mashkin, this security which they would do in Surah, the Kasvi Hachi, that they would write on their documents as follows: B'Mishlam Shanaya Ilan, at the end of these amount of years, Tepik Ara Double Echasav, then the land which was given as security as collateral to the lender will go back to the borrower without any money. In other words, that the borrower doesn't owe now any more money to the lender, because every year that he used it diminished the amount of the debt of the loan. So on that, ask the Gemara. So what's going to come out is that if, let's say, the lender goes and conceals this document of the mashkin, and he's going to claim that, oh, I bought this field, are you going to say that he's believed? Which that is the logical consequence of what Rabbi Yehuda is claiming with the Miga, that he could have made a claim. Obviously, that he could make such a claim. But what? Do you think the rabbis instituted something that could come to a loss, meaning to such a situation of Ramoyes? Because this halacha of Mashkanta de Suri is a takana drabbanon regarding that when somebody lends his friend money and then he gets the field for collateral, it's forbidden to eat the payrus because of ribbis, because you're lending the guy a certain amount of money and he's going to give you back that same money and you're going to be eating the payrus of his field. That's interest. Now, but if it's what's called nechiyasa, which is diminishing the amount of the debt, that's permitted, because that's like this case of Meshkanta Desurum, where he's lending, let's say, 10 mana on the guy's field in the end of the 10 years, so he gives back the piece of land to the owners without any debt. So it comes out, essentially, that's not ribbis, is that he was buying the payrus up every single year with that mana, and therefore there's no problem about ribbis. So this is takanta drabbanan, that has the Gemara, but based on Rabbi Yehuda's logic, it comes out that drabbanan are instituting something. Okay, so we're avoiding the problem about ribbis, and it's helping out the borrower. But it's not helping him out, because you're creating a situation where now he could just say, oh, I don't have the document anymore. It's already after 3 years that I was eating, and the drabbanan made this institution that he'll be able to eat the payrus of the borrower's field. And then he could even say that he bought it, and now the borrower lost his whole field. How could we say the Rabban would institute something based on Yehuda's logic that he could now claim that it's his? Malay, so on that he answered him, it's not true. Hasam, Tekin L'Rabbanan, in regards to a Mashkanta de Surah, the Rabbanan instituted something to actually avoid this problem about the ability of the lender to say that he totally bought the field, as it wasn't just a Mashkin, because the Mari Ara Yorav Task, they instituted that the owner, meaning the borrower of the field, should give the taxes to the government, the Karikari, and he also digs and fixes the irrigation canals and the wells that are around the boundary. So that proves that he's the owner. It's just that it was a mashkin of a surah by the lender, so that we don't run into the problems about, oh, l'kuchi biyadi. So, because this is demonstrating that the borrower is still the owner. And that is the Gemara. Our delesle kari below yov taskemai. What are you going to do with certain types of lands that they are exempt from taxes and that there's no irrigation canals to dig? What are you going to say over there? He's not demonstrating that he's the owner. Now the lender who has the mashkin could claim that he bought it. Amalei, so on that he said to him, Iboy l'mchu, you're right in such a situation. Then the borrower, since he knows that there's no other way, has to protest that people should know that I didn't sell to him, it's just a mashkin by him. That has to Gemara l'imchamai, but what's going to be in the situation when he did not protest? So the Gemara, ihu hu da'avtar nashi, and that's such a claim, such a case. So he created a loss for himself. You're right. Then the lender could claim, hey, look, I had this field for 3 years, no one said anything, and he picks that document, puts it in the garbage, and now no one knows any better. He says, I bought it. You're right. In such a situation, if you didn't make a protest, and it's not a field where you paid taxes and where you dug the wells, then he would be believed to say that he bought the field. Now the Gemara continues with a similar discussion as the previous Gemara, where there's a dispute between the two parties about what were the conditions made up beforehand. So the sharecropper says, he says that the halach of sharecropping is that one person owns a field, he gets a worker to work the worker gets a certain amount of the profits, and from the field's profits, a certain amount goes to the owner. So the sharecropper says, the contract that we had made up was that I get half the profits. And the owner says, not true. I had him work for me, that he's going to take a third of the profits, not a half. Says the Gemara, minem, and who is believed? So, machleik is similar to before, again with Rabbi Yehuda and these Gemaras over here. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Balabais Nemen. Rabbi Yehuda says that the landowner is believed that the sharecropper only gets a third. Rav Nachman says, no, it goes based on the custom of that country. Whatever the custom is, that's going to be the halacha. It's not going to be the owner versus the aris, whatever the minig is. Now, that the Gemara says, the Talmudic scholars who were saying over this machlikas thought that actually it's not a machlikas. Because ha ba'asa de shokal arisa palka. Rav Nachman that said that you go based on the minhag of Medina was talking about where, yeah, the custom was that the sharecropper takes half, then you're going to say that he's going to get half. Now, ha ba'asa de shokal arisa tilsa. In other words, Rav Yehuda that said that the landowner is going to be believed that he's only getting a third is in a place where the custom is that the sharecropper takes a third. That's when he's believed to say that he gets a third. In other words, yeah, that everyone agrees you go kamin of Medina. When the minhag of Medina is half, then you get half. When the minhag of Medina is a third, that's when you said that the landowner is believed to say there was a third and not the way the Aris is claiming that it was half. However, Amalahu Rav Mori, Barad de Basim Shmuel, that Hochem Abai, this is what Abai said, Afila ba'asur de shokal arisa palga pligi. It's not true. That even in the place where the custom is that a sharecropper usually takes half, still there was a machlaikis. That even the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Balabayis Neman, Rabbi Yehuda says that the landowner is believed, meaning he does dispute Rav Nachman. Although Rav Nachman says if the minhag makom is half, the sharecropper is believed and he gets half, Rabbi Yehuda says that even there the landowner is going to believe that he only gets a third. Why? Again, Rabbi Yehuda is coming from what he calls a kayach amigui, the ibayi, because if the landowner wanted to, Amar, he could have said that he wasn't even a sharecropper. You're right, Rav Nachman's logic is, what are you disputing? That what you made up with a sharecropper, whatever the minhag of Medina is, that's what the assumption is, and that's what the halacha is going to be. And that's Rabbi Yehuda, but the landowner could say he wasn't a sharecropper. He could say schiri, he was my hired laborer, which I hired him per day or per month or per week, and I give him a certain amount, over lekiti, who is my worker. In other words, that he wasn't even an aris. You're right. Maybe if you're saying if it's the aris, we should go based on minhag of Medina. But he has the koyach atayin, he could have said that he wasn't even an aris. So believe me that when I say that even though he was a sharecropper, that he's only getting a third, because if I wanted to, I could have said he wasn't even an aris, and then who's going to disprove me? And then he wouldn't even get any other profits. He would just get a certain amount of a minimum wage. And therefore, he's believed, says Rabbi Yehuda, that he's getting as a sharecropper, even as a third, which Rashi points out, that although we're saying that the Balabais is Neman, that he only gets a third, it means together with the Shavuos Hestes, that the landowner has to at least swear that it was as he's claiming that it was. Similar type of discussion. Says the Gemara, Yisayim Oymer Onar Shbachno. Again, this concept about who do we believe. The orphans say that we increase the value of this piece of land that we inherited from our father, and therefore our father's creditors cannot go ahead and collect from that Shvach, because whatever the orphans make it increased, that doesn't have the debt of their father's creditors to be able to collect from. Whereas the credit says, not true. This increase of the benefit of this field, your father had did, which is indebted to the debt that he owed me. Says the Gemara, Mila Hevi Raya, on whom is it incumbent to bring a proof to exclude from the other one's opinion? Says the Gemara, as we continue to Amud Beis, Savar Reb Chanina Lameim Reb Chanina thought to say, did Ara Becheskes Yas Mekami? The land is in the presumed possession of the orphans. They own it. Now the creditor wants to collect, he's the mitzi, so he has to bring proof to say that it was not them who had made the shvach. He has to prove that it was the father who made the shvach, that he could collect from it. That's what Rebbe Chanina thought to say. So Amalahu Ahusabah, so this elder told him, and this is what Rebbe Chanina said, it's actually incumbent upon the orphans to bring the proof, and if they cannot bring the proof, then the creditor could automatically collect. My time, what's the reason? So he says, Ara kiven de legevayne kaima, since land is slated to be collected, because there is a debt of two creditors, they're allowed to collect from the land that the deceased had left over for the orphans. So it's slated to be collected. So therefore, come on, the gavi dami, we qualify it as if it's collected. Va'ali yisayim lehevi raya, and therefore it's on the orphans to bring a proof that they want to hold on to that land of the shvach. They have to prove that it is theirs. In other words, they're not the muhsik. Since it's slated to be collected, by default, it's going to be collected. Now, they want to say that, oh, but this land not. So they have to disprove that, and they have to prove that they were Mashbech and not their father. Now, Am Abai, he says, Afana Namatanin. Abai proves this halacha of Abiechanan from the following Mishnah, Masechta Baba Basa, Navchavdal Mabez. The Mishnah there speaks about regarding a tree that's planted within 50 amas of a city. Now, the Mishnah there teaches that if this city was built first, so then the one who planted the tree has to cut down his tree, and he does not get reimbursed for the value of his tree. Now, if the tree is planted first before the city, still the tree does harm to the city, so he has to cut down the tree, but he gets compensated monetarily for that tree that he has to cut down. Continues the Mishnah, Savik Zekadim. Let's say it's doubt, we don't know which one came first. Was the tree first or was the city first? So says the Mishnah, So he has to cut down the tree, and he does not get compensated for his tree. Says Abaya Alma. So we see, what do we see from this halacha, that Mishnah? Kiven de lemekitz kaima, since ultimately, either way you look at it, this tree was going to be cut down, and the reason for that is because either way, whether the city was first or the tree is first, you have to cut down the tree. Because even if the tree was there first, we said, the Mishnah tells us that he has to cut down the tree. Now, the only doubt is, now that we say that you cut it down, miman of shalchi, the way you look at it, so that's incumbent upon the owner of the tree to do, so it comes out, so then what is the area of doubt? It's on the monetary compensation that there's a doubt, but not on the cutting down of the tree. And what do we say? I'm reading like, I see Raivishko. So we tell the owner of the tree, look, the doubt is on you. You got to cut down the tree. Now, although he's a muxlik on the tree beforehand, but that's not a doubt that he has to cut it down. So it's ultimately cuts it. Question is, oh, but now we're going to monetary compensation. Since you have to cut it down, now you're the mitzi, you want to go ahead and collect the compensation, you have to bring proof and take. And since, if you can't, so therefore he can't collect. So it says Abai Sahochinami. That's the same thing over here in this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, that whether the orphans were mashpiach the land or whether their father were mashpiach the land, the halacha is that Haishtara, regarding this document that the creditor has, Kivin de Legevayin Kaim, is since it's slated to be collected, in other words, that he's going to take the land together with the Shvach. Now, the only thing is, if the orphans were the ones who increased the value of the field, so then he's going to have to be compensated monetarily for that Shvach, as the Gemara will later on explain. But therefore, since either way, the creditor is going to collect the land with the Shvach, so it's Kamanda Gavya Dami. So we already qualified it as if it's already collected. So it comes out that it's the orphans that they're the claimants that are trying to collect from the creditor. In other words, the creditor is going to take it anyway. But the orphans want to say, but you have to compensate us. Oh, Vali Yisayim, Lehevi Rai. So if it's upon them to bring the proof that it's like they said that they were Mashpiach, but they're not the Muchzik. To the contrary, the Bachayiv is a Muchzik, and therefore they have to bring the proof, not the Bachayiv, not the way Rabbi Hanina thought originally to say. Now, ultimately, the Gemara tells us that Aisu Yasmi Raya De'inu Ashbachu. Now, if at the end, orphans do bring proof that they were the ones who were mashpiachet, and therefore, obviously, then they have to be compensated because they were mashpiachet. So, continues the Gemara again, another sub Reb Chanin Lameir. Reb Chanin thought to say, okay, so in this situation, ki mislakin lu, when we have to go ahead and remove the orphans from the land, but our mislakin lu, that is, you have to give them a piece of the land according to the value of the shvach that were mashpiach in the land. Because, again, as we said, because they were mashpiachet. That says Gemara v'lohi. On that point, Ozer Reb Chanina made a mistake, and that's not the case. Because actually, b'dmei mislakin lehu, it's actually that the creditor could go ahead and now remove them, the orphans from the field, not even with a piece of the land, but actually monetarily. He could compensate them for their shvach monetarily. As the Gemara explains, by Rav Nachman, like we find from the Halach of Rav Nachman. The Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Shmuel. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that Shleisha shama lehem es shvach. There are three types of people that we assess for them the amount of value that they increased, what we call the shvach, umalanaisen, and we remove them from the land that they were in possession up until now, bedamim, with money, and they don't take a piece of the land itself. Ve'elohen, and these are the following three categories. Bechor lepashut, the firstborn son with a regular son. In other words, if you have a firstborn son and a non-firstborn son that they went and they increased the value of their father's, their deceased father's land before they divided it amongst the inheritors. Now, the Gemara tells them, Baba Basad of Kof Chavdal Mar Alev, that although the firstborn son takes a double portion, he does not take a double portion in the increase of the Shvach of the Nechasim, which only happened after his father died. Because that's what's called in the category of Ro'u, something that's fit to be in the father's possession, which the firstborn does not take a double portion in what's ro'u. Because like the pasuk says, b'chalesh yimatzalo, it's only what was found by the father at the moment that he died, not the shvach, which only came after the father had already passed on. Now, therefore, when they're coming to now divide after that point, after they were mashpiached, so the firstborn is going to take a double portion in land, which is already mishubachas. Now, the problem is that shvach, he's not supposed to get a double portion. So therefore, we evaluate the shvach that was made, and then the regular brother is given a quarter, which is supposed to come to him from that shvach, which is from the portion of the brother, which he's getting a double portion. You have to take off and split that shvach amongst them, which gives a quarter to the regular brother. So although he has to compensate the pashut, the non-bechor brother, for the shvach, but he doesn't have to give him a piece of land. He only has to compensate him monetarily. That's one category. So too, when the creditor or woman who's collecting a ksuba from orphans, that when they come and they collect the land which is meshubah to them, although the shvach that was made by the yisayimim, they have to be compensated for, but they don't get that in the piece of land, but rather, and that's the halacha that we're illustrating for this halacha, that they are able to be compensated monetarily. And the third category is ubachayv lukuches, where a creditor is collecting from a purchaser, where if the doc, there is a certain person that had borrowed from someone money, and after that, he went and sold off a piece of his land to a consumer, so it comes out that the document of the lender is earlier than the document of the consumer, so then those lands were already meshubah to the lender. He can go ahead and collect from those lands, inclusive of what the consumer had already been mashpiach, those lands. Now, but regarding that shvach that he made, so the creditor evaluates what he was mashpiach, that land, and they compensate him, but monetarily, not, doesn't have to give him a piece of the land itself. That's the third category. Now, the reason for all these three categories is because from the inception, this land belonged to the one who's coming to collect it. And therefore, we don't have to force them to sell a piece of their land because of the shvach that they have to compensate that person, even if they, I mean, in other words, if they have money, they can give money and them to give a piece of land, which, as the Gemara will later on conclude, that we're talking about a piece of land that was made into an apaitiki, which apaitiki means to say that the one who's coming to collect was said that this is exactly the piece of land that you collect, so it's like owned by them already. So although this loikeach, or this brother pashid, or the yisayim were mishpichit, however, since it's designated for that collector, he owns the whole land, and he doesn't have to give from the shvach, from the land itself, rather, he can give it monetarily. Now, on this halacha of Shmuel, the last of the three categories, we introduced it because of the second category regarding the yisayimim, that they don't have to be compensated like Rabbi Chanina thought from the land itself, but rather monetarily. A third category was that Baal Chayv L'Lekuches is also a case where the creditor goes and takes the land from the Lekech, because his document was first, his Shibud was on that, so then he compensates him monetarily for the Shvach. On that, as the Gemara, Amle Ravin L'Rav Ashi says, Lememr the sub of Shmuel, is this to say that Shmuel holds, which this halacha was Rav Nachman that said over the name of Shmuel, that b'chayv l'lekuches, that a creditor to a consumer, that he gives the consumer the shvach that he was mashpiach in the land? On that, as the Gemara, umiyisli shivcha l'lekech, does Shmuel hold that the consumer gets compensated for the shvach that he was mashpiach in the land that was meshubed to the creditor who is collecting the land? But Shmuel said, and this was discussed on earlier on Daf Yudal, Daf Tezvav, that b'chayv goyves ha-shvach, that the creditor collects the shvach. In other words, that does not get compensated to the consumer, that the creditor gets to keep the shvach. So what are you saying, that he has to compensate the lekech, but it doesn't have to give him land, he can give him money, but it doesn't have to give him anything. The creditor could take everything, not only the land, but even the shvach. Now, says the Gemara, b'chitim lekash, and if you're going to say, oh, it's not difficult. Because Khan, over here in this halacha of Shmuel, the Rav Nachman said that there's going to go the shvach to the lekech. That's b'shvach ha-megia lekesfayim. That's talking about that there was benefit in the land that had already produced like produce, which is ready to be carried on the shoulders. Meaning, it's basically not part of the land anymore. It just needs to land a little bit for the finishing touches. Because as Rashi points out, had it not needed the karka, the land at all, then it would be already considered not shvach, or rather payers, and actually the halacha is that a creditor only collects the shvach, and he actually does not collect payers, as the Gemara says in the first parak. So what would you say the halacha would be? So Rav Nachman is saying that b'chayv does collect it, but he has to give that shvach to the lekech, that's talking about that shvach that's already almost finished, and that he has to compensate the lekech. Khan, but that other halacha of Shmuel that we said in the beginning of the Masechta, that actually the b'chayv takes all the shvach and it does not go to lekech, is b'shvach she'in megil lekesvayim, that it's something, an increase in the field that's not ready to be plucked yet. It's not ready to be taken on the shoulders. That's considered part of the land, and therefore since he collects the land, he takes that shvach too. And that the Gemara says you can't give such an answer, because these were daily incidents, for kamagvi Shmuel, and that Shmuel was collecting for the creditor to take the shvach, even my shvach that was almost ready to be picked, but since it still needed the land, he considered part of the land, and all of it went to the creditor, and the creditor did not give, not only not land, but not even monetary to the lekech. So how do we understand this halacha that Rav Nachman is saying in the name of Shmuel, which seems to contradict the other halacha of Shmuel? Does the Baal Chayiv compensate the shvach to lekech or not? Says the Gemara Leikash, it's not a difficulty. Ha, the masik bekeshir ara v'shivcha. When did we say that the creditor collects all the shvach and does not compensate the lekiach for the shvach even monetarily, that's when the debt that's owed to the creditor equals the value of the land with the shvach. Therefore, then he gets that because that's all equal to his debt. Ha delay masik beishir arev b'shivcha. This over here that we said in the name of Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, that the creditor has to compensate the lekiach, but he could give him money and not the land itself, was talking about where his debt only equals the value of the land. The shvach, which was increased by the lekiach, is beyond of what's owed to him, that he has no rights to collect, that when now he has to compensate the lekiach for what he was mashpiach, that is what the halacha said, he doesn't have to give him the land itself, but he could give him monetarily. Now, still the Gemara asks, so chilemasik shir arev v'shivcha. So what you said is that when the amount of the debt does not equal the amount of the land and the shvach, it only equals the value of the land. So you said the yov lezuzi lekech umesalik le. So what you do is we said that you don't have to give the value of the land of the shvach to the lekech. You can just give monetary of the value of a shvach, and that's how you remove the lekech from the land that he's coming to collect. And that asked the Gemara. And this is very well according to the opinion, which this is a machlekes in Masechta Ksubos, that if the consumer has money equal to the value of the debt that this creditor is coming to collect from his borrower who had sold the field to this consumer, and the consumer has money, and he's willing to pay off the debt to the creditor, still there is an opinion that says, you cannot remove the creditor. Creditor has the rights to go ahead and say, no, this guy owed me money. He sold you a piece of land. That land is indebted to me. I don't want your money. I don't want you to pay off the debt. I want that piece of land. And the consumer cannot remove him by paying him up. So says the Gemara Shaper. According to that Mada'ama, it worked out very well that you could say, as we said, that this piece of land was originally indebted to the creditor. Now the consumer went and essentially, if you look at it from Klapi Shmaya Galia, he went down to this guy's land without permission. Because although he thought he's buying it from a person, that guy defaulted on this loan, which was therefore indebted this piece of land. Now, so therefore that's where we could say that he now collects the amount of the shvach with money, not in the land, because since ultimately the creditor was owed the amount of the land itself for his debt, although the shvach was increased, but who asked you to go ahead and come into my land and make a shvach? So you're right, says the creditor. Although that I have no rights to because that's beyond the amount of debt, but that I could pay you off with money. Because although you want to pay off that amount of the shvach that you made and you should take a piece of land, that you don't have any rights. As we see regarding the land itself, that the consumer has no rights to say, oh, I'll pay you off, give me from the land. No, I want the land. And therefore, since it's my land, the fact that you worked in Mashpechet, fine, I'll pay you money, but you have no rights to the land. But Elamandama is Lizuz Likeh, but ask the Gemara, according to that other opinion, that says that if the consumer has money, if he could actually remove the creditor from the land itself, because he could say, look, he owes you money, and now you're, the field is Meshubit, but fine, but I have this field now, and I'll give you the money of your debt, go away from this field, and he could do that. So on that, the Gemara asks, according to that opinion, B'neimalei, so then let, in this case, let the creditor, let the consumer tell the creditor, look, ihavali zuzi, had I had money, a lot more money, have a maslik nilach mikulah, I would have removed you from the whole entire land, and I have the right to do that according to this opinion. Now, hashtad lesli zuzi, now says the consumer, but now that I don't have money, havli griva the arab ba'ara shir shafchoy, but at least give me a piece of land equal to the equivalent of the amount of shach that you owe me. In other words, when I have money, I can remove you from the field. Now, you're going to be compensating me monetarily for the amount of shvach that I mashpiach. So it's like as if I have the money. Now, so therefore, I want to remove you at least from the amount of the shvach of the land, which at least give me a piece of land equivalent to the amount of shvach that you're giving me. Why do we say then, according to this halach of Shmuel, that he could go ahead and remove him? He just has to compensate him monetarily. He shouldn't be allowed to move him. Should I have to give him a piece of the land itself? So I think Mar says, Hach Maiskina, what are we told about here, as we had clarified before, where actually this field was made by the debtor, who was the one who sold off this field to this consumer, he had designated to this creditor as an apoytiki. The Amalei, we had told him, that your collection will only be from this field. In that type of situation, an apoytiki is something that cannot be removed, even according to that opinion that we said that he could usually pay him up, that he can't. And therefore, since it's totally owned by the creditor, therefore he can get, although the shvach, because since it's beyond the amount of the debt, has to be compensated to lekeach, but he cannot remove him, and therefore the creditor could pay him monetarily, and he doesn't have to leave him a piece of land itself, even according to that opinion. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. the conclusion of this theme so far, of this parak of Hamakabel Tzad Mechaver, if someone rents a field from his friend. Because then in the middle of the Mishnah, it segues to the final part of this parak, talking about a different related concept. So if someone rents a field from his friend, L'shvua Echad, for a period of one Shemitah cycle, which is a period of 7 years, B'sheva Me'ezuz, for an amount of 700 Zuz. So says the Mishnah, Shvi'is Min HaMinyan. So the Shemitah year is included in that count because it was for a Shemitah cycle, which one of those 7 years is the Shemitah year. So although you can't utilize it during the Shemitah year, that's counted from there. But let's say Kibla Hemenu Sheva Shonim Sheva Me'ezuz, but let's say he rented it for him, not for a Shavua, which is the term of a Shemitah year cycle, but rather for a period of 7 years for 700 Zuz, then Ein Shvi'is Min HaMinyan, then this Shemitah year is not counted because he specified for 7 years and the Shemitah year is not considered a year that he could utilize it for, therefore it would have to be a seventh year besides the Shemitah year. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion where up until now we were talking about renting a field, now we're segue into renting the services of another person. Schir Yoyim says the Mishnah, regarding someone that's a hired laborer to work during the daytime, which he works all the way till the evening, and by evening he stops working. So says the Mishnah, a schir yayim, gaiva kol halayla. And this is the topic known as baltalan, the halacha paying wages to a worker or for a rental on time. So says the Mishnah, someone who works during the daytime and he leaves at night, so then the nighttime is the time of his collection of the wage that he's owed, both for the halacha of this oath that the Gemara tells us in the next daf, that the Chum instituted that although generally the one who makes the oath is the defendant, the one who wants to not pay, in this situation the Chum instituted that a hired laborer, the employee, he can actually swear what's called bizmanai, which in this context, bizmanai is the evening time when he's supposed to come and collect because he just finished his work. He could be nishba benaitl. Actually, he could swear and collect and say, hey, I worked for you, I swear this amount, you owe me this amount. So that nighttime period is the time of bizmanai, which is the time that he had just finished his work. And also it's considered the halacha of his collection regarding this halacha that there is no violation of leisavei lav hashemesh, as we'll see in the Gemara. There's two different psukim seemingly contradictory regarding the time period that you have to pay the worker. One pasuk says leisavei lav hashemesh, that the sun shouldn't set before you pay the worker. That's a pasuk in Dvarim Chavdali. And then there's another pasuk of leisolam pula socha itcha abaker, that the night should not finish up until the morning time and you having not paid your worker. So one, and that's a meyikar yates. So one pasuk sounds like that you have to pay the worker before it gets dark, and the other halacha makes sense, you have to pay him before it becomes the morning. So on that is what the Mishnah is explaining, that a schir yayim, a guy who works during the day, and he finishes when it gets dark, his halacha of collection is throughout the nighttime, meaning that if nighttime comes, which is actually right when he's finishing work, you do not violate leisabel of Hashemesh, because his collection period that he's able to be paid is all the way till the morning, and then if it's morning time and you didn't pay him, then you violated the halacha of leisol, and that you shouldn't have the whole night go by up until the morning and not having paid him. So to the other way, schir laila, someone that works during the night shift and he finishes his job when it becomes day, then goyva kol hayom, so his collection is throughout the day, meaning both in regard to the oath, that throughout the whole day he could swear that, hey, I worked for you during the night, and he could go and collect. And also, both regarding this concept that there's no violation of baltalin if you don't pay him in the morning, because to the contrary, he has the halacha of leisavei lav hashemesh, that only if you don't pay him when it becomes dark, then is when you violate the halacha of leisavei lav hashemesh. As Gemara will learn, how we know the schir yoyim, the guy who works during the day, the problem is if you don't pay him till the next morning. And someone who works during the nighttime, the violation only if you don't pay him till the next night. Continues the Mishnah. Schir shois, someone was hired for a certain amount of hours. Goyva kol halayla v'chol hayom, so his collection is throughout the whole night and the whole day. And there's a machlik zamaruam how to explain this halacha of the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. Schir shabbos, someone that was hired to work for a week. Schir chodesh, someone that was hired to work for a month. Schir shana, someone was hired to work for a year. Schir shvu, someone was hired to work for a whole Shemitah cycle. So yatza b'yayim, if his rental, his employee, is that job finishes in the morning or sometime during the day, that's when he leaves his job. So give a kalayim. So then he collects the whole day, and once the sun sets, then the employer has violated the isser of leisavei lav hashemesh. Now yotze b'layla, but let's say he leaves at nighttime, meaning if let's say his job finished in the night, then that's when he leaves his job from the whole year or week or month or whatever it is. Then goyve kol halayla v'chol hayom. Then he collects the whole, that his collection could be the whole night and the next day. In other words, because since his work extended into the nighttime, so then essentially we consider him like a schir layla, someone that was hired for the nighttime, which again, as we explained, that a schir layla actually does not have the incur the violation for the owner when it becomes morning. Actually, up until the next day, the sun sets, when it becomes night, that's when he violates the Isser of Leisavah Lav HaShemesh. Now the Gemara explains this halacha, Tanra Ban Uen Nabraisa. Minayin L'Schir Yom Shegev Kal HaLayla. From where do we know this halacha, that someone who is a day laborer, that actually the collection doesn't have to be paid by nighttime, but rather the collection could be paid throughout the entire night. Says the Gemara, Tamalem, and the Braisa tells us, Pasuk in Biyikra says, Laisalan Pulas Sachar Itchad Biker. It says that it should not night over the work of the worker with you until the morning. So you see that up until the morning you could pay him, but till the morning, once it reaches the morning, that's already violating the Isser. So you see that you don't have to pay him by nighttime, but rather only when it becomes the morning. Continues the Braisa, Minayin L'Schir Layla Shegev Kol HaYom. Where do we know that a night laborer, that actually you could pay him the whole entire day, and then the violation is only when it becomes night? Shlomo says the pasuk in Devarim says b'yom etitin schari. On his day, you have to give him his pay, which tells us during the day, once it becomes night, then you violated the Isser. Now that the Gemara asks, b'eima ipcha. But maybe say the opposite. Maybe say, for someone who works at the nighttime, you got to pay him by the time it reaches the morning, which is leisalin. And someone who works during the daytime, there it says leisavai. Don't let it become nighttime without having paid him for the job that he did that day. So I think Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Because schiris eini mishtalemes ela b'saif. A rental is only obligated in payment only at the end of the job. As the Gemara says in Ezu Neshach, Adav Samachim Enaf, what's called Keskir Shana B'Shana. In other words, when the guy is hired for a rental for this year, he actually only gets paid in the beginning of the next year. Obviously, you see that a person does not become indebted to his day labor until actually when he finishes the job, which is when the sun already sets. So therefore, when it says leisavai, that you're not allowed to have the sun set without having paid him, obviously he must be talking about a schir lailo, who actually had been working the night before, who his obligation of payment only started when he finished, which was in the morning. That's when his rental finished. So now it's when the obligation starts, because it only starts when he finishes. So you can't say, oh, when the sun rises, you violated. What do you mean? It only started now when the sun rises. That's when he finished his job. So then that's where the pasuk says, leisavai lav HaShemesh. So to leisalin, obviously you cannot be talking about a schir lailo, who worked during the nighttime, to say that you violated if you don't pay by the morning, because the obligation to pay him only starts when he finishes the job, which is in the morning. You can't say that that's when you violate, because that's only when it starts. So that's when it says, for the night workers, when leisavai lav HaShemesh is to pay him by the next night. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Rabban, clarifying these halachas. The Braisa says, Mimash Meshenema leisalim pula secha itcha. From the fact that the pasuk says that you're not allowed to have stay overnight the wage that has to be paid to your worker with you, says the Braisa, Eini yedea shad biker, don't I know that that means up until the morning? In other words, lina, it means only until the morning. Like the pasuk says in Shema Yisrael Madalad, v'lo yol mabayka, not leave over the parts of the carbon until the morning. Meaning anytime it says the word lina in the pasuk, it means when it stays over the whole entire night. So the pasuk already tells us that you're not allowed to have the wage of the worker stay over the whole entire night. So matam alama ad baiker, why does it say until the morning? Lina itself means till the morning. So why say leisalin ad baiker? Says the Gemara, it's coming to teach us the following halacha. Melamich in oivir ela ad baiker rishon bavad. You're right, leisalin is saying that it only starts when the morning, that's when you violate the Isser. So why say ad baiker? To tell you that because it's only up until the first morning. Meaning the Isser of leisalin, if someone did work for the person during that previous day, so you have to pay him by the next morning. Now, once that next morning comes, he violates the Isser of leisalin. But the reason why it says ad baiker is because in the singular, that only that morning you violate. But on that point on, you don't violate it again. You violate it only one time. When the next morning comes, you don't violate it again. So the Gemara is Mikama Ilech Mai. So now that the person did not pay his worker on time, and he violated Leisalin, which is only until the first morning, then what happens now? So I'm a Rav, Eivim Mishim Bal Tashta. So although there's no more Bal Talin, but now if he continues to not to delay in this payment, then he violates this Isra of not to delay. On that, as the Gemara Rav Yesi says, my Kra, what Pasuk is there to illustrate and to allude to this concept of Baltash of not to delay?
On that, the Gemara says, a pasuk in Mishlei, al toimel l'reyacha leich v'shuv u'machar etein.
Don't tell your friend, oh, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give to you. And v'yesh etchein, really we have with you. So in other words, if someone has what to pay, although once the first morning comes and goes, he already violated batal, and that city doesn't violate it again, as the adbeker comes to teach you, but there's still going to be another violation of baltasha, where if you have the money, don't push the guy and just delay and say, oh, come back tomorrow and I'll give you then. If a person has and he doesn't pay, then beyond batal, and he continuously violates baltasha of delaying to pay his worker on time.